This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. You can find them at harborair.com. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio, year 15. And welcome to the show. This is our annual Meet the Makers. Sarah Park. Sarah represents Coastal Craft, serving Vancouver Island and the Gulf Islands, along with her partner, Cameron Duke. And they have the very best client partners. All of the wineries and artisans that you ever wanted to taste and talk to. And when they partnered with Vintage West Wine and Spirits, it was a fantastic coming together. And so they throw a pouring party once a year in Victoria. This year, the guests are Jesse Bannister and Chris Skelly, the founders and owners of Provincial Spirits. From Winemaker's Cut, Michael Mosney, the winemaker and co-owner. From Sheringham Distillery in Lumet, Jason McIsaac, master distiller and owner. From Junction Cider, Cody Brown, the owner. And David Mitchell, the cider maker, was there. From Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards, Gordon Fitzpatrick, the owner and VP. From Blue Grouse, Paul Bruner, the owner. And we talked to Michael Abbott, who is the raisin rancher and is the vineyard manager. From Tightrope Winery on the Naramata Bench, Lindsay O'Rourke, the owner and winemaker. We had a chance to talk to Matt Thurwell, the partner in Vintage West Wine and Spirits. Not physically in attendance, but still being poured were Birch Block, Nomad Cidery, and Stag's Hollow Vineyards. It was a fun room. You can find all the details at mulliganstew.ca. And we do welcome to the show a title sponsor, a quintessential West Coast business, Harbor Air. A huge success story. Great fun. They're safe. They're friendly. They take care of you. They get you where you're going. Float plane flying. Something else. We welcome Harbor Air as a title sponsor on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger, Devlin Barker, at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that the Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. Gordon Fitzpatrick is the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards. This is good because it's a Fitzpatrick Family Vineyards. It should be led by a Fitzpatrick. Gordon's the Fitzpatrick on the day pouring. Nice to see you again.
Great to be with you, Terry.
Thank you, Gordon. How were your 2 years?
You know, we've been really fortunate at Fitz. Nobody's missed a day of work. You know, right out of the gates, they deemed us an essential service. So apparently what we do, these COVID coping fluids have been helping through these trying times. But, you know, I mean, of course, we've had to make some adjustments like everybody has. But we've been very, very fortunate.
So the tasting room sort of had to reinvent itself. But people did want to connect with their wines, so you had a great online presence, and that helped as well?
Yes, our online business was up significantly. And for our on-site guests, I think actually our experience at Fitz is better now than it was before. The days of people bellying up three deep to the tasting bar are mercifully over. That was never an experience I really wanted people to have at our place. And so we've had to spread out. We do more seated, curated tastings. And I think the experience has been better for everybody concerned. They've extended the temporary expanded service area for another year. And we're making application to make that permanent so that we can take the best care of our guests possible.
One of the best byproducts of all of that is you don't have to shout your message. You can talk your message. You can tell the story.
Yeah. No, and that's what we like to do. We like to share our stories with people. And so, and as a result, I mean, we've had fewer visits overall, but I think after our first year of moving to this, the per average transaction went up by about 35%. So that works.
That works. That's a good number. What did you bring to pour?
Well, of course, the bubbles. That's the specialty of the house. So we've got the 2019 Fitz Cremant. We've got our 2017 Fitz Brut. We'll probably have about two more months before switching over to the new vintages on those bubbles. The glass I brought you was a little extra lees aging, the 2015 Fitz Brut, which was 66 months on the lees, and I think a real treat. And then in the still wines, a Chardonnay, a Pinot Noir, and a Meritage.
What tells you that 66 is when you want to bottle it?
Well, you know, in this business, patience isn't just a virtue, it's pretty much a necessity, and especially so in the sparkling wine game. And, you know, I am a patient man, Terry, but at some point you just have to say, you know what, we've got to bottle it and sell it.
Because you have an accountant who's saying, you know, you're in the wine business.
But again, you know, we're going to be setting aside about 2,000 of bottles to do the extra lees aging, you know, moving forward. You know, everything we do at Fitz is their vintage sparkling wines. Yeah. And so, you know, we like to tell the story of the growing season. And so, we'll be doing, you know, more and more of the extra lees aging because it does make a difference.
Gordon Fitzpatrick is the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyard. I was handed a bottle of fine sparkling at Unsworth by Chris Turek, and I said it was a 2017. I said, "How long could I just walk away from this and leave it?" He said, "It will get you. It's got many years, many years." But how, and then so my second question was, "How do I know when it's ready to drink?" He said, "You can drink it now. It'd be wonderful now." So with this 66 months on the lees. What's the shelf life? Is it?
I mean, I don't know for sure. Our first vintage of sparkling was 2012.
Okay.
I had it about a year ago because I was curious to see where it was at.
Yeah.
Still very crisp, fresh. So I'm comfortable with 10 years.
So that's 10 years.
Probably longer.
Yeah.
You know, it's again. This is a journey that we're on, right? And we've only been doing this for so long. And so that's why we have a wine library, and we'll follow it to see what the longevity is. But I'm very comfortable saying 10 years.
How did it change in the bottle?
The acidity, and that's kind of the signature of Greta Ranch, right? We've just got this wonderful natural acidity, and that's why we specialize in sparkling wine. But it just got more interesting, a little bit more complex. You know, you start to see more of the benefit of the lees aging and some of those, you know, brioche notes.
Does it stay clear? Does it get muddy at all?
No, it was brilliant. It was clear.
Thank you for sharing that. Gordon Fitzpatrick is the president of Fitzpatrick Family Vineyard. And the bistro, is the bistro open?
It opens May the 4th. So this Wednesday, so the 19 Bistro at Fitz, and I've got a wonderful operator, Neil Martins, and his general manager, Marissa, and they do a bang-up job. So it's a wonderful way to spend an afternoon or an evening in the Okanagan. So open daily, lunch and dinner.
What's the rest of the year look like? I mean, and how are we doing for product?
We've been fortunate the last couple of years in the Okanagan, you know, the industry's had short crops. We've been working really hard on our sustainability at Greta Ranch. So our tonnages have been better than most. And so I have, this past year we sold about 7,500 cases. I have about 8,500 cases to sell this year. So we're in, I guess, the enviable position that we have a little bit more to share with people.
You want to mention the wine club?
Yes, yeah, our Fitz Wine Club. It's been very, very helpful, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah.
People have discovered how easy it is just to have wine, you know, show up at their doorstep. But there's always special things that we do for our wine club. For example, we haven't announced this yet, but you always like the scoop. So after a couple of years of being in this pandemic, I've got our friend Jim Cuddy coming to the winery to play for us on July 29th. So we'll give our wine club members front of line. And so give them chances to buy those tickets. But they also get everything that we do, and there's always usually a treat you know, something that's special in the box just for our wine club members.
He's just coming back from France. He was biking with Barney Bentall. They were taking a cruise down one of the rivers.
They are avid cyclists.
They are, so, in fact, and they like their wines. They really do. And Barney has a brand new album. It just came out. Came out in the mail this morning. I got it. Yep. So it's July 29th. Fantastic.
Friday of the long weekend. So it'll be nice to do that again.
I hope to see you there. Thank you.
Love to have you, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
We're meeting the winemaker on the 8th floor of the Parkside Hotel in downtown Victoria. She is Lindsay O'Rourke, winemaker, co-founder, co-owner of Tightrope Winery from the Naramata Bench. Did you bring the whole family?
No, just me for this trip. Graham, my husband's getting pretty busy with the vineyards, so he stayed home to keep an eye on that.
How many wines did you bring to pour? You've got quite a portfolio there.
We brought 5 wines to pour. So we have our Sauvignon Blanc Semillon, that's 2021. We have a 20 Riesling and a 2021 Pinot Gris, the 21 Rosé, and the 19 Syrah and Merlot.
So the Tightrope Rosé is right in front of me, and the Merlot is just to the side. Did you talk about the color?
So it's actually quite a deep rosé color. That's because it's made with a bit of Barbera. So it's a Pinot Noir base with about 6% Barbera.
But I mean, you know, we always talk about, when we talk about rosé with winemakers, about it was on for 12 minutes or 22 minutes or overnight or 3 weeks or whatever.
Right.
Is that the color you wanted?
Yes. We do. We didn't actually soak it for long. We just soaked it overnight. We have soaked it for longer. But it really is the Barbera that will bring that color in.
It looks like something from Tavel, especially in that bottle as well. So here's the deal. I came over and said, I wasn't being flippant. I thought, this is not a summer sipper. This is a food wine.
Yeah, it's on the drier side for sure. But it's got really nice structures, a nice complexity of flavors. You could sit in the patio and drink it, but it would also go really well with food, for sure.
What would you pair with it?
Oh, God, put me on the spot here now. I would part probably some nice cheeses, some soft cheese.
Some prawns,
yep. Maybe a nice charcuterie plate. I'm trying to think of what else. It's got some nice sort of raspberry, strawberry flavors in there. So a nice summer salad could go with that as well.
So did the Barbera do what you wanted it to do?
Yes, yeah.
So we're going to see more of this?
Well, we did plant more Barbera a few years ago, and it's just coming into production. We use the Barbera in the rosé, and then we also have a red blend that we use the Barbera in. And they both become quite popular.
Who else is growing Barbera?
Not a lot. Sandhill has some, and then I've heard there's another grower maybe in Summerland that has some.
Tightrope Rosé 2021. Beautiful rosé. How many cases?
We have about 450.
Price point?
It is about $23, I believe.
It's in a Riesling bottle, nice, tall, beautiful, elegant. You're going to notice it right away, especially if it's backlit in a store. Okay. And now about the Merlot.
Sweet. People think because of the dark color it might be sweet, but it's really not. It's nice and dry. So
I can attest to that. And the Barbera does add, what does it add?
To me, it adds backbone to the wine. So the Pinot Noir can be a little bit soft, or I don't want to say flabby, but a little bit soft. But the Barbera has got that nice acidity, and it brings a really nice backbone into it, and lovely raspberry flavors and some spice.
She is Lindsay O'Rourke, winemaker, co-founder, co-owner of Tightrope Winery. Were you always going to release Merlot?
No.
When you first started?
No. I think the plan was to sort of blend it away, but I have to say over the years of making Merlot, I'm becoming a bit more of a fan. So I'm really enjoying the Merlot that we've been making in our vineyard.
Is it a different Merlot from what we might taste elsewhere?
Well, sure, it's a tightrope Merlot. I don't know. It's not I would like to say it's not overly extracted. It's got nice concentration of fruit flavors and tannins, but it's not really over extracted. It's got a little more elegance to it, I believe.
It's a 2019. 14.5% by volume in alcohol. And this, how long has it been open?
About an hour now.
Okay.
An hour and a bit, maybe.
Because I'm learning now that it changes I did a Pinot tasting and realized that Pinot goes through various changes. I mean, even overnight, as a matter of fact. I love this Merlot. I love this. This is an aromatic bench fruit?
Yes, yep. Yep, that's our estate grown, so our Fleet Road Vineyard, right by the winery, yeah.
If you could just have the jam to cellar for a couple of years, right? So how many years have you done this?
The Merlot? I think we made the first single varietal Merlot in 2016, I want to say. Yeah.
And have you tasted the 2016 lately?
I haven't. I should, though. I should. Yeah, I've been very pleased with the Merlot. Like I said, this wine is making me swing back to enjoying just a single varietal Merlot because the flavors in there are just, you know, the aromas that come up are just, you've got that, you know, almost the cassis flavor and the, you know, dried strawberry and some...
It's involved. It is wonderful mouthful. How many cases?
We did about, I want to say 250, 300 cases, so it's not a huge production. But,
price point?
This one is, I'm trying to think now, we're retailing it for around $30.
She is Lindsay O'Rourke, winemaker, co-founder, co-owner of Tightrope Winery. What's a year going to be like? Will you have enough product to get through?
It's going to be slim. It's going to be pretty tight. Unfortunately, yeah, the production's been down for the last few years, and we've caught up on any sort of back vintages that we might have had to sell. So, yeah, the reds especially are going to be tight. So if there's a red you like, I would pick it up before it's gone. We're hoping for a normal year this year. I don't need a stupendous, crazy year. Just a normal, average year would be great.
What could we watch for in terms of normal?
I would just like to see, no crazy heat domes, no early frosts.
Fire.
Fire. Luckily, we've actually started off to kind of a slow start. It's been cool and a bit rainy, which is actually great because that stops things from drying out in the forests, and hopefully the forest fire rating won't get too high.
I've been kind of locked up and tied down. Have you won any awards lately? Have I missed anything?
Not since last year. Our Syrah last year got 95 points at Decanter.
Yeah.
We have wines back at that contest right now. I think they're just running the contest now, so we'll find out.
And what effect did that Decanter nod have?
It was great. We got great feedback. It's great to have that recognition. It makes it your job easier when you're trying to go out and... You know you have a really great product, but to have that backed up by Decanter saying it was great really helps.
Did you bring a Syrah?
I did. We brought the 2019 Syrah.
And what won the award? The 2018?
The 18, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How different is it?
The 19 is a little bit lighter, a little more elegant. The growing year was a little bit cooler, mm-hmm. so it's reflected in that. But it's still got lovely richness and round mouthfeel.
Over from a journalistic standpoint, I should come over and taste it.
I think you should, too.
She is Lindsay O'Rourke, winemaker, co-founder, co-owner of Tightrope Winery. Have yourself a great summer and
Thank
a tour.
You, Terry. Take care. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Okay. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs, the home of The Hatch, Crown and Thieves. Speaking of Crown and Thieves, Crown and Thieves 2021 Winemaker's Wench on the nose, apricots, oranges, and honey, followed by a taste of ripe peach and melon. 2021 Winemaker's Wench. I just got this note from the Artful Dodger. Devil and Barker at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. And a reminder that The Hatching Post Saloon and Smokery is now open. All the details at jasonparkscustoms.com and crownandthieves.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. At the top of my to-do list, it says Provincial Spirits, Jesse Bannister and Chris Skelly, founders, co-owners of Provincial Spirits. First of all, Jesse is here. Chris is being the star in the corner. He's pouring. When did it start? How did it get started, Provincial Spirits?
We started back in 2018, and it was just a selfish project. Nobody's making fresh juice cocktails out in the marketplace. Everything you go to the store is kind of a flavorless, tasteless, odorless value product. And I just wanted to bring the real cocktail culture to a bottle.
So in other words, you looked around and said, okay, nobody's doing that.
You got it.
What did you know about that?
You got it. It was just a selfish project. It's more of a hobby project. I used to do it all the time at home, make my own drinks, tell my friends about it. They'd come over, enjoy them, share those with them. Then they'd ask how I made it. I'd give them the rundown of all the ingredients. Their eyes would glaze over. And I'd be like, no one's going to go figure this out.
Give me an example of a drink that you did back then.
It was the gin and juice is our number one drink. It's gin, grapefruit juice, fresh lemon juice, botanicals, juniper, coriander, all those things together.
Did you have to make your own gin?
I did, yeah, I did. I started kind of, it was called a bathtub gin. You know, you get your vodka, your flavorless vodka, and you add all the herbs and spices. You soak them into that together to get your own gin, yeah.
What is it?
Orange guava. This is more of our summertime one. We're getting close to summer here. So this is inspired from Hawaii, fresh passion fruit, orange guava, and vodka. This is like a patio sipper. Get out there on your patio in the sunshine, shirtless. Just have one of these.
I don't know about the shirtless. What's the alcohol in?
They're all 6.9%.
Okay.
So they're booze forward. You know, when you drink a cocktail at home, you're usually getting some kick with it, so...
Who's the customer? Who's the client?
You know, we used to say, you know, it was middle demographic females, but like it's changed dramatically for us. There's a lot of, we call them craft beer anonymous guys that are just switching off craft beer but want to have something that's still as flavorful as craft beer. You know, it's just people that want something fresh, I think, really. That's who it appeals to. You know, the person that goes and buys fresh ingredients makes a really good product. They're looking for something that, like, tastes good and tastes real. I think that's who it is.
This is a sea green passion fruit, orange, guava, and vodka. I'm telling you, that's a label. The actual drink itself is what you expect from fruit, passion fruit. What's the price point?
These range from about $5 in the store a bottle. So four packs, $20.
Jesse Bannister and Chris Skelly, founders, co-owners of Provincial Spirits. And your vodka is coming from where?
We have a really cool license where we can buy bulk spirits from all over the world. Yeah. So we get our vodka from Ontario, which is a big distillery there. It's really nice. But our next one's a tequila margarita coming from Jalisco, Mexico. We bring in rum from Trinidad, Tobago. We got bourbon coming from down south in the States. So we go around, travel the world to try and find really good spirits. Then we bring them back with our like final product, fresh ingredients we make here.
What's that second bottle?
This is a tea one. I brought this one for you. You can take this one home. Fresh, so three teas, Kenyan black tea, orange pekoe, and rooibos, and then lemonade. So it's an Arnold Palmer.
Yep.
Take it on the golf course, a good sipper. But yeah, you can throw that one in your bag, take it home. It's the fresh brewed tea, though, really gives us this like dry, crisp kind of tannicness, which you're probably used to in the wines that you drink.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And how long did it take to find that ground?
The which?
Well, that center, exactly what you wanted.
It took a lot of testing, but we also are like, you know, with cocktails, it's kind of cool. You can make them and try them and iterate them and evolve them. We're not like a 30-year-old craft. We can really play around with stuff, you know. We kind of call it choice paralysis sometimes because we can pull ingredients from anything.
Jesse Bannister, pouring today, Provincial straight up cocktails. So you're working with tequila.
Yeah.
Have you thought about going one step further?
Like mezcal, or yeah, we have the only thing about mezcal is it's early days with people, so the smokiness and the boldness of it. We try to make stuff that like you don't have to get too adventurous. You can still dip your toe in and try it out. Mezcal is delicious.
It's delicious, man.
I love mezcal.
Come on,
it's so good.
Come on.
We played around with it quite a bit, but it's a punch. It's a punch, that one.
How big is the portfolio?
Well, we have four core products. And then we make a new one every month. So, you know, craft beer culture has really changed the way the consumer drinks. You know, they walk in the door and they don't even know what they want anymore. They just pick something on the board. And we try to keep the same thing with cocktails. So every month we make a brand new one and we send it out to, we have a cocktail crew in BC. We ship it out every month to their front door and they drink them and tell us what they think.
All 6%?
All 6.9%. The margarita is 8%. That's coming out. But
when does it arrive?
It'll be ready in like 4 weeks.
Where can we find it?
We're in all the premium craft stores, I would say. Anyone that brings in a finer selection of alcohol, you find.
So let's come full circle. So when you started, you'd invite people over to the kitchen to try these things, and they were a little skeptical. Now when you send an invitation out.
Well, now I'm lucky to have a 50-seat tasting house in Port Coquitlam, so I can invite them down there to come have a drink, and I have a staff, and we have all these on tap, which is great. I get a lot of emails asking for me to ship them product.
Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, thanks for taking the time.
Jesse Bannister and Chris Skelly are pouring today provincial straight-up cocktails.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
This is called Meet the Makers, Sarah Park. People come here because Sarah throws a party, and she has great friends. One of them is Sheringham Distillery and Lumet, Jason McIsaac. He's the master distiller and the co-owner. I think the first time I ever ran across Sheringham was up at Parksville, and that's when I first tasted it for the first time. I went, this is fantastic. Who are these people? And it turned out to be you and your wife.
Yeah, my wife Elaine and I, we started Sheringham Distillery in 2015, and now, it's been a wild ride.
Jason, part of that wild ride was winning the award.
Yes.
In London.
For the best contemporary gin in the world at the World Gin Awards in London in 2019. That was, it still does feel big and kind of crazy.
It did change the game too, didn't it?
It did, yeah. We've won several awards before with different spirits, including with Seaside. But when we won that one, the phone was ringing off the hook for radio interviews. There was photographers showing up from newspapers, magazines. There was news trucks showing up the next day. It was, and it resonated really hard with people that had supported us and kind of followed us and felt like they were a part of Sheringham or really enjoyed what we were doing or our product. They felt like they had that win too, and it was just really exciting. That was actually one of the best parts of that win, is just feeling the support and love from everybody that's been with us the whole time.
And then what was added? What were the next ads? Was it the Japanese?
Yes, Kazuki Gin came along after that. It was that was inspired by a couple of Japanese gins that I had, just the use of the citrus, the floral aspects, the earthiness, herbaceousness. So I picked kind of some of my favorite things. I immediately had an idea of the gin that I wanted to create that was inspired by that. I had been working on one for a bit. It has cherry blossoms, green tea, and green tea flowers. The green tea and the green tea flowers are grown at West Home Tea Company up in Cowichans. Yeah. It's the only green tea producer in Canada commercially. We use cherry blossoms, of course, juniper, coriander, yuzu fruit, and grapefruit. And it's a great little gin.
Actually, you know, I saw an article, I read it at 4 o'clock this morning. It was about how mixology has gone crazy, but the most basic drink is gin and tonic.
Right.
If you get the volumes right, and then if you want to play around with it, you can play around with it. But basically, gin and tonic is just a great, they were meant to be together.
When I first formulated the recipe for our Seaside gin, I wanted to make a gin that when you mixed it with tonic or in a cocktail, but when you mixed it, you could still feel the botanicals, because you could still taste the botanicals. They're there. You're like, yes, that is Sheringham gin. That's Seaside gin. So there's it's quite robust. There's a lot of botanicals. There's a pretty good extraction of what's in there, but it does shine through when you drink it in a cocktail or a gin and tonic.
What are you pouring at the table today?
We have the whole lineup today. Including Lumet, and we have brought something new that we haven't released yet. This is its debut. It's Otani.
It has three names at the top.
Flavored botanical. So this one I have here is cucumber, lime, and mint, and I brought you a sample of it in the glass, and also I've mixed you one with soda water. That's how it's meant to be drank.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, the cucumber owns it, but then the mint comes up in the sort of like an Oreo cookie, and then the lime off the top. Oh, that's fantastic. Does it taste as... Excuse me while I do that.
Yeah. Gets you giddy. I like it.
Quote me.
Good reaction.
Quote me.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I like it a lot. Here's with a bit of soda.
You know what it is? Yeah. It's liquid happiness. I mean, without going crazy, it's just fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Otani, which means?
It's a section of botanical that's been removed, so.
That's science, sir. Otani.
Right? Otani.
Okay.
Otani. Cool. Otani.
Okay, so when does it come out?
This should be out in June. We also have two different versions. One is grapefruit, lychee, and rose. And the other one is orange, Seville orange, and bergamot.
You're having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun. That's what it's all about. I mean, like, we've been having fun the whole time. Not always fun, of course, and lots of, a lot of trying times, but yeah, for the most part, it's really fun.
Did I see a rhubarb go by?
Rhubarb?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a rhubarb gin in there. I mean, I can get you a little
no,
taste
I just,
of that
I just,
if you want.
Yeah. Very handsome in the bottle. And I did an interview with, I've forgotten the guy that you partnered with for Lumet. Initially, right at the very beginning.
Oh, right. Was it Terrence?
It's okay. I first time I tried Lumet, I went, this is wonderful, but my question is, and it's silly, stupid that it came out of my mouth, but why? Because right. I'm thinking, you know.
It's a great question. No, I've heard it a lot, yeah. And my answer to that would be, it's like everyone knows non-alcoholic beer, right? We've known it for a while. We've seen it for a while. We understand that people want to drink that. They want to partake. They want to be a part of a social event. They want to feel included, so they'll have that as something in their hand. This is a similar idea, but instead of a beer, it's a gin drink. Gin and tonic, an alternative to a gin and tonic, because there's zero alcohol in it. A cocktail. We're serving Lumet gimlets right now, today, if you're interested in that later. The bartender that we have is making up some nice little numbers over there.
Remind people what's in the gimlet.
It is syrup. The one we have is a rose syrup today. Lemon juice. And, of course, the Lumet. We're also making one with the Sheringham stuff, too.
Very nice. Is there a surprise coming this summer? What's going to be rolling out?
I think this will be the Otani will be the big one we're rolling out this summer. But we do have some other ideas for the fall, pardon me, and for next year as well.
Does it say balanced? No, botanical. I thought it said balanced vodka.
Botanical, yeah.
Cucumber, lime, mint.
That's right.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
It's a laugher.
Right on.
It's a laugher. It's fantastic.
Cool. Thank you.
Whatever happens this summer, I hope that it makes up for the last 2 years for all of us. And thank you for this, because people are going to truly appreciate what you're making.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on and talking to me. It's been a pleasure to see you again.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Unsworth Vineyards is pleased to be part of this year's Cowichan Wine Festival passport-style tasting event held this year in the month of June. In addition, they will be part of an evening tasting party at Brentwood School August 4th, where you can taste all of the participating wineries in one go under a summer starlit night by the ocean. Details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. Here at David Mulligan, this is Tasting Room Radio. We're on the 8th floor of the Parkside Hotel overlooking Victoria. The event is called Meet the Makers. Thank you to Sarah Park for the invite. Our guest is a friend. His name is Michael Mosney. He's the co-founder and the winemaker at Winemaker's Cut in Oliver. And to keep a long story short, he saw Jason Priestley and I doing Hollywood and Vines, got interested in the Okanagan. He and his wife came over, had a look, went back, sold everything, and came to the Okanagan. And now you can find Winemaker's Cut everywhere. And it's that's the guy. We had a small part in getting them here, and you've made it a better. How, by the way, what did you think the adventure was going to be like, Michael? What did you think it was going to be like, and what was it like?
Well, I had actually no expectations. We just wanted to come and see the Okanagan, and the moment we landed and we saw how peaceful, how beautiful, how not polluted it is compared to Europe, we just completely fell in love with Okanagan. And you know, ever since then we are just living our happy life here, and that's That's something that I would never even expect in my life.
Did you know what you wanted to grow?
Of course, I grew up making wine and growing grapes, especially typical to Middle Europe, like Grüner Veltliner, Muscat, Canelli, Zweigelt, Blaufränkisch, and stuff like that. So that's what I was expecting to grow here. But, you know, now I have to go also with the flow and use the full potential of the valley, of the vineyards that we have access to. And so basically we are planting the very best varietals in the world, and they can make the very best wine in the world in Okanagan as well.
Like you have your product line in front of me here, the Bohemian, for example. Riesling, Pinot Noir, Merlot, Rouge, Coulis Blanc, Syrah, and this one right here, the Cab Franc. Were you told by a number of people, me included, that Cab Franc grew well?
Well, I tested Cab Franc from the Okanagan, and it immediately stayed in my mind. It never left my mind. So this is what meant to happen with every single wine region in the world. If you taste wine from that wine region that is meant to grow there, it sticks with you, it stays in your mind, and you always remember, this is the best wine from that region.
Follow the wine, follow the region.
Exactly. And of course, we are producing quite a bit of wines. We have a long portfolio, but the reason is basically because every single wine is so beautiful.
I think the reason is because you can't help yourself.
No, I can't really. I'm addicted to this.
The Frizzante White, made from?
Frizzante White is made from mostly Sauvignon Blanc, and we added also a little bit of Muscat, Canelli, and Gewürztraminer.
We're speaking with Michael Mosley. He is the winemaker and co-founder of Winemaker's Cut in the South Okanagan, Tasting Room Radio. Now, the cut wines, tell them the difference between your cut wines and your Bohemian ones.
So cut wines are our estate wines, but not all of them yet. So we have our Grüner Veltliner and Muscat Canadi that we planted on our property, but we still have to wait until we get the first fruit and the first leaf. But our property is Sauvignon Blanc, Cabernet Franc, which is rosé mainly, and Syrah.
The rosé is from?
Rosé is from Cabernet Franc, 100% Cabernet Franc, Dead Man Lake Vineyard.
Did you mess around with it, or was it always going to be Cab Franc?
Always going to be. Well, it was before, it was also a little bit of Syrah, because what we are doing, we are actually using the highest elevation rose in the vineyard, where the berries are very, very tiny, and it's dry farm, so basically it's a lot of concentrated flavor, so we just try to do a straight non-skin contact rosé out of those vineyards, out of those rows, and that's how I came up with, like, this is a delicious wine, let's not change it anymore. The only thing we changed, that we added Syrah before, but now we are not, because Syrah is a very precious grapes in the Okanagan, so we want to use only the highest quality Syrah possible.
How busy is the tasting room?
Well, it's crazy busy. We were not expecting that at all. This year started by saying bye-bye to COVID. And I see it everywhere. I see it everywhere I go.
Our guest is a friend. His name is Michael Mosney. He's the co-founder and the winemaker at Winemaker's Cut in Oliver. How did where you came from in Slovakia, or Slovenia, how did they handle COVID?
Well, it was, I think, much worse than over here. I think we can be happy, even though we complained, everybody complained probably because of the regulations and the restrictions, but right now I think I'm very thankful that everything was managed so well here in Canada, here in BC.
Any surprises? Anything under the table?
Unfortunately not, because I was told that this is a portfolio tasting, so I brought a full portfolio. So we have like 13 wines here, I think.
13 wines?
Yes.
And there's more to come?
There is more to come, definitely. There is some wines that we already kind of almost sold out, especially some Bohemian Reds, so that's why I didn't bring it over here.
Have you thought about a food program?
Food program in the tasting room?
Yeah.
I did not, because I want to stay focused with wine. I would love to, but I just cannot handle everything.
If you could, just to dream about it, what would you have in there?
Well, definitely potato salad and Wiener Schnitzel. And some Spätzle, maybe.
Sure. Okay. You brought those ideas with you. This is fantastic. You and I are going to see each other down the road. We actually have a secret, Michael and I. Just if I keep my mouth shut, maybe we can keep it a secret for a while. I understand that, but and we're not alone in this. There's a trio here, and so I know I'll see you again, and we wish you the best and have a great bud break.
Thank you, Larry. Always appreciate it.
Winemaker's Cut. Go and find it, whether it's cut wines, their sparkling wines, or the Bohemian line, especially the Cab Franc.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
The card says Michael Abbott, Vineyard Manager, but we know him, some of us know him, as the Raisin Rancher. better known wicked tractor driver, but he's a vineyard manager for Blue Grouse Estate Winery and Vineyard in the Cowichan Valley. Those are still your standards?
Yeah, I believe so. They haven't made me change the card to Raisin Rancher yet, but it's been talked about.
What are you tweeting about these days? I mean, in terms of the vineyards.
Well, it's spring, so we're looking at cover crops and new plantings and lots of exciting things around bud break, typically.
Do we get bud break here before the Okanagan?
We can. We have in the past. This year, I believe they're a little ahead of us. Yeah.
Because it's a little cooler here.
Yeah, we got a cold spring on our hands.
Are you okay with this?
I'm a bit behind. So pruning, planting, all that stuff, I'm a bit behind on. So a cooler spring has been kind of good.
What did you bring to pour today?
We got some Quill Pinot Gris. It's a Cowichan Valley Pinot Gris. We have our Estate Ortega and the Paula Vineyard sparkling wine.
How is that new vineyard?
Great. Yeah, we planted 20 acres over the last 2 years and had really good take rate, really great success. And so we should see a couple of tons coming off of a 2020 planting in that new area this year.
Michael Abbott, Vineyard Manager at Blue Grouse. What kind of a fruit does a new vine throw?
Kind of a young and luscious cluster of fruit, and not a lot of it. So it won't be a standalone. It'll get blended into something bigger that it can kind of balance out with.
Are we having the same crop decline here that they are in the Okanagan?
No, we were a completely different beast on the island. Yeah. You know, same province, but completely different growing zones. So we didn't get the cold snap, and we didn't get the heat wave the same way they did. So we're doing well. We've been increasing yields on a lot of our older blocks for the last couple of years.
And who's pouring in your place while you're doing the interview?
The owner. Yeah.
That's Paul, nice.
Paul Bruner. You got to put him to work.
That's nice. I like the fact that he's sent you forward to do the interview as well. Now, how big's the portfolio? How many are you pouring again?
We have, I think, seven wines on hand today.
Two Pinot Gris.
Two Pinot Gris. We have our Estate Ortega, the Paula. We have two different rosés and a red wine out today, the Quill Red.
Can you tell now what's going to be the hit of the summer?
Frizzante. Yeah, you got to get it while it's hot. It's a limited release, and it's going fast. It's a light, effervescent rosé, and Bailey kind of concocted that this year for the first time, and it's been a huge success. So if you see it on the shelf, grab a bottle, because it's not going to last.
Those new plantings, Michael, could completely change the game, because, you're talking about a lot of fruit.
Yeah, we were historically a 7-acre vineyard, and in a handful of years, we'll be 70 acres. So tenfold expansion for the estate production for Blue Grouse.
Still more plantings to come, do you think?
Yeah, we have another 35, 40 on the horizon.
And do you know what's going in?
Yeah, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Gamay Noir, Pinot Gris, some Muscat.
How much Gamay?
We've got 6 acres slated, and the Gamay we make a rosé with, so we're banking on our Gamay production to bulk out the rosé for us.
Michael Abbott, the Raisin Rancher, Vineyard Manager at Blue Grouse. Am I the only one that thinks that Gamay should have a home in the Cowichan?
It secretly does have a home, just not a lot of people talk about it. But there's a number of growers with a substantial acreage under Gamay, and you don't see it often as a still wine. You might see it as a rosé, or maybe goes into a bubble blend, etc. But it's got some room to grow here.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to give anything away, but are there any surprises coming that you're not pouring today, or maybe that are under the table?
Yeah, the estate line, we hold back a lot of the Pinot Gris and the Pinot Noir, which are sort of our feather in our caps. So those are going to be held back until later this year. So keep an eye out for those. It's a bigger, both of those are a bigger red and a bigger white.
And if I remember correctly, in June is like Cowichan Wine Tour month, right?
Yeah, June, there's a lot going on in the Cowichan. In June and August, there's another sort of festivity underway.
August 4th. Yeah, down at Brentwood College.
Yeah, that's right.
Right down by my house. Here's the deal. During this tour, will you do tricks with the tractor?
Tractor tricks. I don't have any tractor tricks. I think that's workplace safety.
You couldn't
issue.
Get it on back wheels?
No, I couldn't do that. No, we could probably move some manure for you, though. just a load of it.
Speaking of Bailey, how is he?
Bailey's in good form. He's in Vancouver. He is at a winemakers event in Vancouver right now. And, the guy, if you've known him for the last 40 years, he's his usual self. He's up to his antics.
Wonderful.
And yeah.
Have yourself a great summer.
Likewise.
Michael Abbott, the Raisin Rancher, Vineyard Manager at Blue Grouse. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. they have opened and they're ready for 2022. The Bistro is opened for lunch after a two-year hiatus with a set price two-course lunch, dinner 5 to 9, and most importantly, they also have takeout options. Both the Wine Shop Tasting Room and Bistro are open Wednesday to Sunday and reservations only. They do offer wine sales Monday and Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And the wine club is going strong with the spring shipment going out mid-May. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mooncursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne Marsan. Mooncursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. Matt Thurlwell, don't forget the L in the middle. Matt Thurlwell, managing partner, Vintage West Wine and Spirits, along with Coastal Craft Beverages, are presenting Meet the Makers on top of the Parkside Hotel in downtown Victoria. Vintage West Wine and Spirits, you have a table full of releases. Can you take us just basically through what it's like to stand in front of that bench?
Yeah, no, thanks, Terry. Look, we are a Western Canadian importer with about 50 different producers we bring in, and we're proud to say we've got some amazing international wineries, some great local BC wineries, and we have a great selection today of brands like Ridge and Kerr Cellars and a whole bunch of different great iconic wineries.
Do they find you or do you find them?
You know, it's usually one of those things where a supplier is looking for representation, and a lot of this industry ends up being word of mouth and your reputation and that kind of thing. So you get contacted a lot of the time, but certainly we seek out new partners as well. So,
is this list in alphabetical order?
No, it's a little okay. All over the map.
Well, I mean, it starts with Bartier Brothers. Got that.
This is an interesting story, though. Bartier Brothers.
Project B.
Right. We work with a company called Boutonneau, which is a European wine company, big company. They make wine all over the world, and they find often partners in different parts of the world to work with. And they were really excited about coming to the Okanagan. They came here and toured the valley about 5 years ago, met with about 10 or 15 different suppliers, and eventually established a real love affair with Michael Bartier. And we launched Project B with the 2019 vintage. It was a single vineyard Sauvignon Blanc. 2020 had a Sauvignon Blanc and a Rosé, and the plan is to increase the breadth of that brand.
For both markets? For Canada and Europe?
Yeah, actually, I think the UK team took about a palette or two of the Sauv Blanc to introduce. They've got a great team of wine geeky pros over there who wanted to show what Canada was offering, so it was exciting for them too.
So how did Michael get that into his own winery? Because he's busy doing that.
Yeah, it's a side project for sure. Head winemaker from Boutonneau, Eric Monin, is very involved. Traditionally, during non-COVID years, he would come over, be a part of the process. But they really dialed Michael into the style of wine that they make, and he has a really good, tangible feel for what he wants.
It's almost like an Okanagan version of a Long Shadows project. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool. Exactly. Yeah, it is really great.
So you have a Cinsault, Grenache Cinsault. You have a bread and butter. You jumped in with them.
I mean, this is one of our most successful brands, California. Just really great simplicity of style of winemaking, great varietal correctness. We have Cabernet, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, kind of runs the whole gamut, but we're certainly one of our most successful brands that we have.
And great marketers.
Yeah, the branding is incredible. Really is. The packaging, you know, very simple, very sort of comfort feel and look to it. They've done really well.
Matt Thurlwell, managing partner, Vintage West Wine and Spirits. I'm seeing makers from Paso Robles, that way to go, at Carneros.
Yeah. We represent Justin Winery out of Paso, who are probably one of the real originals from that region, and obviously known for Cabernet, but we're pouring their Central Coast Sauvignon Blanc as well today. We have Cuvaison on the table, which is one of the most historic Carneros wineries, straddling both Napa and Sonoma. They've been making wine there for a very long time.
Yarra Valley.
Yeah, and we also have Suma Vineyards from the Yarra, exactly. Very high elevation, cool climate, almost Burgundian-like Chardonnays that they produce out of Australia.
And Napa's represented by Gerard?
Yes, Gerard, one of the probably earliest Napa wineries to come to Canada in the late 70s, early 80s.
And when did you and Sonoma hook up?
Well, we've been representing Ridge from Sonoma. And
I'm sorry, let me pick that name up. Just let me pick it up. Okay, yeah. What was that name again?
Drop that name all day long. Ridge Winery, we started working together about 6 or 7 years ago, and they're a fabulous partner of ours. Obviously, the wines are iconic and, you know, collectible and one of the most famous brands, but they have a great love affair with our market. This month, actually, we're kicking off a partnership with the BC Hospitality Foundation. They have a very significant promotion that helps to promote wellness. Yeah. It's called the Hospitality Hustle. And this month we are donating $3,000 to the Hospitality Hustle. In addition to that, $20 a case from Ridge Sales in the month of May goes to that great cause to help people in the hospitality industry.
Month of May?
Month of May.
Well done. Is it Kerr?
Yeah, this is very famous. Christy Kerr, yep. Golfer, the LPGA okay. most awarded female golfer in the history of golf, former U.S. Open champion, and she started a winery about 3 years ago.
Is that Wapple?
Wapple Vineyard yep. is in Stagsley. Yeah, so that's one of their single vineyard wines they make. They partnered with Helen Keplinger, who is an incredible winemaker in Napa, and they're doing an amazing job.
Matt Thurlwell, managing partner, Vintage West Wine and Spirits, along with Coastal Craft Beverages, are presenting Meet the Makers on top of the Parkside Hotel in downtown Victoria. I did see the Gunpowder Irish Gin from Drum Shabo.
Yeah, this is a very, well, I should say, used to be small distillery out of Ireland, and they are making incredible spirits. We have their Sardinian citrus-infused spirit that we're promoting today.
It says coming soon. Is it here?
It is just landing in about 2 weeks, okay. So we are doing an early showing of that.
And you and Writer's Tears, how long does that go back?
It's been about 4 years. Okay. This is the Walsh Distillery yeah. from Ireland, making some of the most collectible whiskies out of Ireland. So they've got a full gamut between the Irishman is their main brand, but they also have another brand called Writer's Tears, which is equally available in the market.
And the bottom, the last title is the best of all, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Yes, I mean, this is an incredible story. I would take up your whole podcast if I told you the whole thing. Very quickly, a Cambodian refugee came to the United States 20 years ago, escaped Cambodia and everything that was going on there, was given a steady diet of peanut butter as a child, fell in love with it. Future, fast forward 20 years, he meets his chemist wife, who they then co-founded a bunch of restaurants together in San Diego, but then came up with this idea, and it is a massive category now, peanut butter whiskey, if you can believe it. All the big spirit companies tried to create something to knock them off. They still have 95% market share. Go to Earl's restaurants anytime, you'll find their cocktail feature that features Screwball in it. And Joey's is about to also launch a cocktail with it as well.
And of course, we want to know that we can find all of these products in British Columbia.
It's a mix of BCL and private stores. But yes, everything we are carrying here today is pretty widely available.
Vintage West Wine and Spirits and Coastal Craft together doing Meet the Makers. This is a great gig.
Yeah, it's awesome. We are very lucky to be in the industry we are and have fine people out. This feels like a coming out party again. You know, we haven't done this in 2 years, so this is pretty exciting.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. Thank you, Matt, for sitting in.
My pleasure. Thanks, Terry.
Matt Thurlwell, managing partner, Vintage West Wine and Spirits, along with Coastal Craft Beverages, are presenting Meet the Makers on top of the Parkside Hotel in downtown Victoria.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
This is Tasting Room Radio. We are... you're the guy with the... I saw the running shoes go by.
Yeah.
I was looking down. I didn't look up. This may be the last interview. I could be wrong, but this is what it is. Junction Cider is pouring here. Cody Brown, the owner, is here. David Mitchell, the cider maker, is over there pouring for everybody with the beer. It's nice to see cider here, first of all. And I've done the cider festival on the Pipe Shop. The Pipe Shop foot of Lonsdale in North Vancouver 3 years in a row when we could meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And first year there were 20 or 25. Next year there were 30. Next year it was 35, and it would spill out into the patio. Were you there?
We were not there. We just took over from Todd Creek in 2020, and with COVID and some other issues, we just kind of launched very slowly. So this is the first year that we have a variety of ciders that we're happy with and.
Let me get this right. Just as you took over, COVID happened?
just before we started the process. I think like March 1st we put the offer in.
That's nice.
And by the time it closed, you know, we kind of hummed and hawed if we wanted to pull out or not. And you know, it was only 2 weeks, we were told, right? So so we kept on going, and it closed August 15th of 2020. And then from there, we brought on David Mitchell, just an awesome brewmaster, turned cider maker now. So getting some products out.
Junction Cider is pouring here. Cody Brown, the owner, is here. Where are you based?
We're based in Victoria, the Prospect Lake area, West Saanich, just by Mosey's Bakery. It's a little landmark there. Yeah, everyone knows where Mosey's is. Great food and bakery items.
Actually, the wine selection, the cider selection in there is really good.
Yeah, everything they do is high end. They're from their gelato to their bakery to their yeah. cider selection, which is Junction.
I tell you, what's high end is the parking.
The parking, yes. Well, there's some they're redoing the Junction by Junction. They're putting some lights in there and adding some parking, so it's gonna be great.
It's a great spot, actually. So what did you bring to port? Because a lot of your bottles don't have labels. You just got to tape.
Yeah, one. So that's our hop cider. We just bottled it on Thursday, and the labels haven't come in yet. So we wanted to get that out. It's going to be one of our core three. So we have tasting today. We have our semi-dry. We have our Kingston Black, which you just had a sip of. That's our single varietal. And then we have our Paquette, and we partnered up with Alvo Creek. And then we have our hop cider as well.
Now, what was the first cider you made?
The first was a rhubarb cider. Okay. It was a blend from the previous owner. He was helping us out, just kind of get started. So we kind of wanted to do something different. We saw a lot of the same products from a lot of different people for the flavors. So we thought rhubarb would be an interesting one-off.
How's the learning curve with cider?
The learning curve, quite steep for someone who doesn't know anything about cider making. You know, we thought we're going to be able to sort of take off a little quicker than we did for the knowledge base. And you know, to make a base cider, it's not difficult, but to make a great cider, something with craft that you can replicate, is a big thing. We have to use different apples and combinations to get the same flavor profile. So
and
that's
never
difficult.
Apples that people think, wow, because they'll look at little crab apples, they think, no, I'm not going to eat that.
Yeah, and that's where all the
that's what you want.
That's great acidity and tannins and everything in there, and that's where Dave really just takes off with the knowledge that he has to make, you know, for a semi-dry. He said this is the third iteration he's made. It all tastes the same, but with just a plethora of different varieties of apples. With craft, we don't have the ability to buy large bulk apples that taste the same. We have to use what we have and pull out the same flavors.
But I mean, Vancouver Island, especially the south part of Vancouver Island, was known for their orchards.
Absolutely. Through Machosen area, still a lot of old heritage, 100-year trees out there.
Trees.
It's great. We did have we worked with Life Cycles this year. They're a community organization. They go out and pick apples and all fruit for that matter. Half goes to the homeowner and half goes to them. So we bought around 4,000 liters or so of community apple juice this year. So we're really trying to use local source products because there's, like you said, there's so much fruit in the Victoria area.
You should see the Mill Bay. Oh, never mind. There's right below me. There's a woman with 10 trees, and they're fantastic, and they're old, and they're gnarly. No, that's what I wanted your card for. Because I told her, I said, there's somebody who wants these apples.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't just leave them on the tree.
Yeah.
Junction Cider is pouring here. Cody Brown, the owner. So what did you pour me?
This is the Kingston Black 2020 vintage. So it's 100% from our orchard and 100% dry.
What's going on there?
A lot. It was just a simple single varietal. There's so many layers to it. It's just the Kingston Black apple. As David says, it's the apple that does everything for the cider making process. Usually one has higher acidity or better tannins and everything else.
What color is the pulp?
The pulp it comes out like a nice rich sort of tangerine orange, kind of like a dark tangerine orange color comes off, and then we're able to through aging and filter and get.
There's a
brighter.
Core down the middle. There's a string right, that spine of it right down the middle is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely, it's beautiful.
Any other surprises over there?
We have two coming down. Actually, we have a kiwi and a coffee cider. The coffee cider, it is interesting. It comes out, it's just heavy aroma, and it's just easy drinking.
Okay, what about a guy like me? Who I can see all of that, but what I really want is to taste the original dry cider.
Absolutely.
That's what and then I'll go out from there.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
So where we're going is we're using it as the traditional English varietals. So that's where our Kingston Black and our Dabinets. Yeah. We're doing a single variety of those, and that's the driest we're going to have.
You got a tasting room?
We do have a tasting room. Open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 12 to 4. We have typically six or seven ciders pouring there.
And is there a food program?
We bring in food trucks once a month for our Sunday sessions. So live music, food truck, and then our wonderful cider to taste.
Sunday sessions?
Sunday sessions, yeah, once a month.
Okay, fine. All right. And where do we find you again?
We're on Prospect Lake Road, 273 Prospect Lake Road in the West Saanich area.
Website?
JunctionVictoria.com.
Congratulations.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Junction Cider, Cody Brown, the owner, is here. He is, in fact, the last interview. Yes, I'm going to go taste. Thank you,
Excellent.
Buddy. Thank
Thanks,
you,
Terry.
Buddy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor Vineyards. Their tasting room is now open, and the first club shipments of the year are going out. A heads up on the Heist Rosé, 90% Syrah, 5% Nebbiolo, and 5% Malbec. And watch for Eclipse, their 2020 traditional method Roussanne Marsanne. Moon Cursor, the 2019 best performing small winery in Canada. Details at mooncursor.com. This edition of Tasting Room Radio is presented by Harbor Air, a quintessential West Coast experience. Safe, fast, and fun connections throughout coastal BC. You can find them at harborair.com.